Wonderful to see you all here this Sunday morning. It's Father's Day Sunday, when we as a nation have set aside time to think about, to remember, and to celebrate the institution of fatherhood. And in all reality, it is something very near and dear to my life, because that is, I think, what I spend a vast majority of my time actually doing, is being father. Because there's always a moment in every life where you are called upon to be a father, pretty much 24 hours a day. There's not really an end to that. It is it's not a job that one clocks in and clocks out of. As Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he is in getting them ready for the ministry that they are about to do, he gives them some interesting instructions. And I'm going to tell you all, that is one of the challenges of being a parent, is giving instructions to your children in a way that they have the ability to actually follow them. And I'm going to tell you right here now, sometimes when I find myself giving fatherly instructions, I don't think they're particularly complicated. I'll give you a for instance. We had a birthday party just this week, because my daughter Abby turned 10. So she's 10 now. She's off at church camp for her first year right now as we speak. We'll see how she loves that. The kids have always enjoyed Camp Luther. I think she'll like it. But she had a birthday party, so she had her friends over to the house. And so it was just Abby and seven other little 10-year-old girls. And I kept having this very strange experience of girls coming up to us and asking us this one question. At least four of them asked me the same question. And every time they asked it, I thought, what an odd question, or what an odd way to put it. They will say to me, do you know where the trash can is? And I think to myself, if I don't know where the trash can is here in the house, we're in a lot of trouble. Yes, I know where the trash can is. And with one of the little girls, she says, do you know where the trash can is? Yeah, it's just to the right of the stove in the cabinet. And she went to the stove. And she had that moment of confusion, like, now what am I supposed to do? I said, it's to the right. So she turned to her left. I said, it's your other right. So she turned to her right, and she opened the cabinet. Oh, there's a trash can there. And that is a ubiquitous experience as a parent. You give a direction that you think no one on the planet could misinterpret. Go to the stove, turn right, the cabinet on the right. And invariably, you will have a child that will get to the stove and be like, okay, I got the first half of it done. What was the other half? Or they'll get to the other half and be like, the right, right. No, that's my left. As a parent, sometimes you have to be very specific. You have to give those directions and instructions that come down to the very smallest of points. So when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he doesn't just say to them, okay, we've got a lot of work to do. I can't do it all myself, so I'm going to have to divvy this up. I want you guys to go out to the villages of Israel. You've seen what I do. You've heard what I say. You know what to do. Go for it. That was not Jesus' instructions. He realized that his disciples were going to need a bit more direction. So he says, okay, this is what I want you to get to. I want you to specifically go out to the villages. When you get there, I want you to find somebody that is a good person who will give you lodging. And when you go and you lodge with a person, pray your peace on them. And then I want you to pray. I want you to teach. I want you to preach. I want you to heal. I want you to cast out demons. And this is what you do if they don't like you. And of course, as a parent, you give that instruction to your children a lot, don't you? This is what you do if you're being bullied at school. This is what you do if somebody gets in a fight with you. This is what you do if somebody hurts your feelings. And Jesus says, okay, this is what you do if somebody is mean and cruel and does not listen to you and rejects your message. Don't fight with them. I think that's one of the first instructions we all give our children when we send them out in the world, If somebody is being cruel to you, don't get in a fight with them. He says, just turn your back, walk away. That's all you have to do. Your Father in heaven will handle the rest. But he gives them this very specific set of instructions. And he gives them then what strikes me as some of the weirder directions ever given to someone. And especially strange to me, coming off of packing my kids for camp. So we just had two kids to pack for camp. A small one who's 10 and a larger one who's 16. And obviously we oversaw the small one's packing quite a bit. But there was a lot of, I want to take this t-shirt. That t-shirt doesn't fit anymore. It's one of my favorite t-shirts. It's a size too small. Well, I don't think I have any pajamas. Where are all your pajamas? I don't know where all my pajamas are. Yeah, we wouldn't think the bigger one would require quite the same degree of oversight, but we got to putting his stuff together and we were like, you can't take those jeans, they have a hole in the knee. Okay, you can't take that shirt, it's too old. Where are the rest of your jeans? I don't know where the rest of my jeans are. Where's your old t-shirt? Where's your old tennis shoes? I can't find them. So I will share with you all that last night, I had forgotten this, but apparently Walmart closes at 11 p.m. I know Walmart closes at 11 p.m. because my wife and I were, you know, buying extra underwear and socks and that sort of thing at 10:45 p.m. because we had to pack the kids for camp. So, there we go. Jesus says to his disciples, when you go, I have hair in my mouth. When you go, don't take extra money with you. When you go, don't take extra clothes with you. When you go, don't even take an extra staff to carry along the road just in case the one that you have breaks. When you go, take nothing with you. And boy, I gotta tell you, I wish I'd thought about that passage more before we packed the kids for camp. It would have saved me a lot of worry and trouble. Okay, Joshua, you're going to camp. Here's your empty bag. Have fun. But Jesus sends his disciples out with these very express instructions because he wants them to understand that the ministry that they're going to take on is not a ministry of prosperity. You're not going out there to get rich. You're not going out there to rely on your own skills, abilities, strengths, gifts. He's basically saying to them, I want you to go out there and just trust God. God wants this ministry to happen. God will make this ministry happen. All you have to do is trust. If you can trust God, God will provide. And to make sure that they have no choice but to trust God, he sends them out without a single thing that someone would take when they were going on a long journey. And that's daunting. I mean, I sent my kids with individual fans. Jesus says, don't take an extra jacket. I think we sent the one kid with at least three jackets. Jesus sends them trusting. I don't have any here. Where does it come from? Trusting his Father. Trusting his Father to care for them. Trusting his Father to be with them. Trusting his Father to provide for them. Trusting his Father with all their needs. Because he wanted to teach them that lesson above and beyond all else. And he says to them, you will be rejected for my name's sake. You will be harassed for the message that you bring. You will be unloved in certain places. And if you're relying on anything other than the Father in those moments, then you're going to collapse under the weight of that very, very terrible burden. But if you are relying wholly and completely on God's grace and mercy, if you're relying on God to give you strength to face that which you are going to face, then you will truly be able to overcome. God sends us to do his ministry still this day. God continues to send each and every one of us to perform some ministry in this life. And more often than not, when we have that internal sense, that internal sense of God calling me, when we experience that external sense of somebody who says to us, would you please do this ministry? More often than not, we evaluate whether or not we're going to do that ministry based on a set of criteria that look a little bit like this. Do I have the skills? Do I have the gifts? Do I have the time? Do I have the resources? And if we think that practically and prudently we can accomplish the ministry that God sent us to have to do because we've got the skills, the gifts, the resources, and the time, we say, okay, I guess I can do that ministry. That is the exact opposite of the way Jesus sent the disciples. He said, you don't have the time. I have a limited amount of time, and we need to get some things done. I'm not going to send you with any resources. Not that they really had that many resources to begin with. He says, as to skills and gifts, I've assembled a bunch of tax collectors and fishermen and zealots. None of you have any training to be rabbis, teachers, preachers, or prophets. The only thing you need is God with you. You must trust that God will be with you. One of my favorite moments of the kids going to camp every year is when we pick them up. Because there's this really, really predictable pattern of behavior. We pick them up at camp and they're excited to see us and they're happy and their clothes reek. They're covered in mud and they have sunburn. But they're so excited, and they want to tell us every single detail. And the words just fall out of them. This happened, and then that happened, and then we did this lesson, we sang this thing, and we did this prayer labyrinth, and I cried, and it was good, and it was great, and it was marvelous, and it was awesome. And I found this out, and I discovered that, and I found this out. And 45 minutes in the trip home, they are unconscious. Just dead to the world out. Because they have expended all their energy at camp. And now they just sleep the rest of the way home. But there's that initial moment of this incredible thing happened and that incredible thing happened and this wonderful thing happened. And they just spill all those things out. If you read further in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus' disciples come back, they have the exact same experience. They come to Jesus and say, we saw Satan fall like a star from heaven. God's word was proclaimed. The sick were made well. The blind were given their vision back. People heard and responded, and grace abounded, and they were amazed at what God had done through them. And they had all this joy and excitement and happiness and fulfillment and peace that came from taking part in God's ministry. Just like I see in my own kids' faces and voices when we pick them up from church camp. Because there is nothing more thrilling, more satisfying, more joyful than being a part of God's ministry. And so it's important to know that when God calls us to come and follow, whether we feel adequate to the task or not, God will fill that experience with joy, success, happiness, fulfillment, and peace. Maybe a little exhaustion on the other side of the equation. Because it doesn't say in the gospel, after Jesus' disciples told him all the wonderful things that happened, they took a nap. I suspect that is in fact what happened. But it is the sleep that comes from being fully, fully satisfied with having done good work. So I say to you all today, if you hear the voice of God calling you, perform the ministry. Don't start figuring out how much you need to pack for the journey. Don't start figuring out, do you need an extra pillow for the trip? So I think my kids, some of them took two pillows for the trip. I'm like, those bunk beds are small. What are you thinking? Instead, ask yourself, can I trust God to make the impossible possible? And when you do, be prepared for God to fill that experience with joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction and happiness.